God has got a plan. So even in your darkest night, hold on to the light. And please know, oh, you've got the victory.
Good morning. Good morning, and happy Resurrection Sunday. Today is also Cesar Chavez Day. Yeah. So I want to remind, first of all, just shout out to our beautification team who curate our Women's History Mini Museum. So I want to invite you, before you leave the sanctuary, to be sure to just check that out, because it's beautiful. So all month they have been switching it out and just doing a beautiful job of that. So be sure to take a look at that. I also want to remind you that last September, I took a well-needed respite in Bali. And when I returned, I said I was going to host a tour, and we could go. And so that's coming up next September. So next September, September 6th through the 17th, we've actually added a day, an additional day in Ubud. So we'll have one wonderful time. There's a call April 29th, the evening of April 29th, a Zoom call, so you can find out all the details of it, yes? And that still gives us plenty of time to get our coin together and whatever else we need so that we can be a part of it should we choose, yes? Also, what's coming up is several years ago, for our anniversary, I wish I remembered which anniversary it was, but Eddie Watkins Jr. was with us, and he just wore it out. Some of us were there, and it was a wild heart and soul party, the likes of which we have not had since. So Eddie Watkins Jr. is going to be with us on May 26th, and we'll have a concert that afternoon at 2 p.m. So everyone's invited. This is simply a save-the-date moment. So that's Sunday afternoon. It's the day before Memorial Day. So I know you were thinking about making some plans, but make them a little later so that you can hang out with us on the Sunday afternoon. Yes? Yes. Today being Resurrection Sunday and Cesar Chavez Day, there is a rally that is the Heart of Oakland Solidarity Rally. And so I'm encouraging us. I know we have some other plans, but if we can be there at 2 on our way to wherever we're going so that we can be in support of Oakland, would it be okay on Resurrection Sunday and Cesar Chavez Day if I left you with the words of Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes? Would that be okay? Wake up, everybody. But look, Look, I know they meant to say, Oakland won't be no better if you just let it be. What's the rest of that? We got to change it. Yeah. Who? Just you and me. That's the message on this Resurrection Sunday and Cesar Chavez Day. Yes? Yes. So be with us this afternoon. And now, I bring you Heart Song. Thank you.
Running away from me.
Running away from me.
Thank you. Thank you. That was Heart Song. Under the amazing direction of Valerie Joy Fitmont. Yes. 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 That was Daria Johnson on drums. Thomas Hughes on bass. Annie Safford on horn. Yes. And that's Tammy Hall on piano. Thank you. And this is Reverend Amon. Yes. Thank you.
Oh. Good morning. Well, happy Easter. Somebody here, is celebrating Easter in the way that it should be. And that is the celebration of the risen Christ in you. You see, there are so many other churches across the nation and world where they have gathered just as we are here to celebrate Easter, Jesus, the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection. But the total focus is on Jesus. The difference between, I don't want to use the word difference, let me say the distinction, it's a little softer. You know, the between them and us is that we too are here today to focus on Jesus, but the message is incomplete until and unless we do not let the life of Jesus, the death, be in vain. Because if we don't get it this way that I'm about to say, then, I mean, what did he die for? What was that all about? And the purpose, which is what I'm going to be talking about today, purpose, destiny, future, fate, and karma. But his purpose was so that there would be some benefit to all of this for us, and that is this, that we may do what he did. So we're here to celebrate today that we have done what he did. Today's celebration is not all about only Jesus, but Jesus wants us to celebrate the fact, the truth, that we have done what he did. That's what he died for, to teach us how to do what he did. What did he teach us how to do? What was his purpose? Was to teach us how to come out of that grave. To come out of that grave. And some of you here today are like me. You've rolled the stone away. Taken off those grave clothes, and you showed up here today. And in showing up, what you are demonstrating is that you've shed off the old man and taken on the new man, and the old man is still in that grave, and the new man is here. When I say man, I'm talking about woman, but the old man is that old mental equivalent. That old you, wearing those old clothes of grief, unforgiveness, feeling of betrayal, can't let go of the past, anger, arthritis, loneliness, depravity, brokenhearted, moaning and groaning and complaining, going to the doctor for the wrong reason. You know, you go to the doctor for a confirmation that you're healed, not to be healed from some sickness. That man is in the grave. You see, there are some other people who are here in the physical who don't know that they're still in that grave. So that's what the message is about today. So our message here today is to help you, not you, those other people, roll the stone away. So if we can put up the PowerPoint, I'm going to talk about purpose. So you'll understand that Jesus' life was controlled by purpose. But what is purpose? Purpose is an anticipated outcome that guides your planned actions. Sometimes we confuse destiny with purpose. And you don't know what your purpose is. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that there is one out of each 10 people here who might know what their purpose is. I don't care how many credentials you have and how many degrees you have and how many classes and workshops you've had and how many workbooks you've worked and books you've read. Well, I didn't know until recently. I've been studying this stuff for 40 years, but for the last 5 years or so, it's not that I didn't know this, but it's come into more clarity of what the distinction between your purpose and your destiny. And here it is. 3 John 1, God gives you a hint. Speaking through John, he says, "Beloved, I would above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Beloved, above all things, I would want you to be prosperous and be in health and that your soul prospers. Well, that's God's will for you. That's God's will and that's God's purpose. One of the disciples asked for a clarification on that point, and they said to Jesus, "Master, which of these is the greatest of the commandments?" And he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. The first and the second. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Understanding that, that's God's will for your life. That's God's purpose for your life. But here is the twist. Here is the shift. And then that becomes your purpose. That first is God's purpose for you to love your Lord, the Lord God, your heart, with all your heart. Before you ask for anything else, before you want anything else, before you desire anything, first love God. And then love your neighbor as yourself. That is your will. But how do you fulfill that purpose? That purpose is full. God's purpose for you, God's will for you, is fulfilled through your divine destiny. That's not God's divine destiny. That's God's purpose. Now, your divine destiny is all about fulfilling that purpose. You don't fulfill that purpose. The purpose fulfills itself through you. Whoa. You gotta get all mixed up in this stuff. And so now, this word predetermined. Predetermined is not up there with God, it's here with us. Through your divine destiny, the predetermined course of events will happen in the future, but they can be influenced by fate. We're going to talk about purpose. What else? I'm not asking you, I'm asking myself. Purpose and fate and destiny, future, and karma. So what's happening here is that the resurrection could not have been without him before the crucifixion. The crucifixion you go through every day. The crucifixion is just part of race consciousness. It's just there. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 5, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets, but I am come to fulfill." To fulfill what? His destiny. Not his purpose, his destiny, which was to prove that life cannot die. Jesus signed up for this. This wasn't pushed off on him. He loved God so much and his neighbor as himself, see, that he sacrificed, that he gave, that he volunteered. He raised his hand and said, "I'll go." Well, others had tried to go before Jesus to do the same thing that Jesus did. Sign up. To prove that life cannot die. Who in here can do that? Mm-hmm. But you see, Jesus was 33 years old when he did. Jesus was a senior citizen. That was the lifespan of man at that time wasn't too much more than that, right? But he spent his life doing what? Building a mental equivalent to be able to prove. You right here today have already built some, 2 out of 10. Already built a mental equivalent for a change, a transition into, you fulfill your purpose, and you fulfill your divine destiny, and there's something within you that don't know it. So we're rolling the stones away. When Jesus decided that he would step up and be the one to demonstrate this destiny, he set up his future. He set up his future. Then what happened was that when you know that you have set up your future, you should also, through your thoughts and through your decisions and vision, you also accept, you understand that you have the, it is alterable. It is not set. It is not predetermined in terms of sense that you can't change it. All right? And that is what fate is. Fate. Fate determines the way that your destiny will be accomplished. Fate creates your future through the law of karma, and the law of karma is the law of cause and effect. Jesus could have at any time said, I changed my mind. But once he set up his destiny as that, then what happens here is that your purpose draws together everything that is necessary in order that that destiny be fulfilled. And so you have people, places, and things, and events, and circumstances, and rendezvous, and everything is already set in place to bring all of the elements and all of the intelligence of God to bring that to pass, including people. And one of those in Jesus' life was Judas. But before we talk about that, let's remember that I said that Jesus was not the first one who volunteered, who stepped up to prove that life cannot die. And that was Socrates, who preceded Jesus. One of those was Socrates, who preceded Jesus in about 500 years. But let's talk about Socrates. Socrates was a philosopher, aristocratic philosopher. He felt that, like Jesus, that his life was purpose-driven. And he had the same passion that Jesus had to teach, to lead, to save, to transform, to build up. But he taught what was in Athens, the Athens government considered was a radical teaching. It's called New Thought. Immortality. Life lives beyond the grave. But he was attracting great numbers and became a threat. And so they arrested him. Who else was arrested? Jesus, right? And when they arrested him, you know, on trial, at the end of the trial, they gave him a plea deal. Admit your guilt, stop this stuff, and move on. Or drink this cup of hemlock, which was a poison. That was a sentence. He could have chosen where his life had destiny, driven by a purpose. He was so determined that he could fulfill this same destiny that Jesus later demonstrated, which was life cannot die. And so he decided to stay in the prison, and he drank the hemlock, the poison, expecting to rise up. But he did not. He died. He had not yet built that mental equivalent for the event, for the action. Jesus did. Jesus built the mental equivalent for a reason to teach you the law of mental equivalent. All these things I do, you can do, and even greater these things. You understand what I'm saying? Paul said, one of his disciples later on, I die daily. Did you remember that? Did you read that? And so that's what happens to us too. You see, every day in every way, I am getting better and better. You know, you have that fixed in your mind. But at some point, you have reached that mental equivalent, and now all you need to do is pass over. See, this is the Passover period in Easter. The Passover was 2 days before the crucifixion, you see. And they, when they ate together, he ate together with his disciples. It's called the Last Supper at the Feast of the Passover. But when you get to that period of Passover, that can, in most cases, it is, I want to say always, but you understand, I don't want to say always, but nearly all the time, there's struggle. See, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane for the Last Supper. And the Garden of Gethsemane represents, you know, it's the Mount of Olives, where the olives are pressed, and you get the oil from the oil. It comes through pressure. It comes through pressure. It comes through pressure. When you're getting, trying to pass over to the other side, from the old man to the new man, from the old consciousness into the new consciousness. And so, Socrates didn't pass the test. I had a friend who called about a week ago or two. And I was thinking about the message here today. I knew the theme would be the Garden of Gethsemane, but I didn't know what the topic would be. I'm on. How did you know that I needed you? I just sent you, did you read my email? No, I hadn't read an email. I hadn't talked to her in a year. She's in Florida. And she said, well, I was calling you. I was going to call you. I was calling you because I need your help. Now, she's somebody been in my life a long time. And we had a person, a common person, who had done some work for us, professional work, technical. And she said that I've been trying to reach him, but I know that he follows you sometimes or in touch with you sometimes. And Wednesday, I hadn't heard from him in a long time. And she said, well, here's the deal. I'm trying to make a decision. She said, you know, when Juanita was here, Juanita Dunn is an old practitioner back in the movement that she and I worked together with, and a lot of people have come to us. And she said, that's who I would have called, but she's been gone a long time. And Amon, there is nobody I could have called but you. I can't think of anybody else that I could call. She's about 87 years old, but you. My heart is heavy. I feel betrayed. See, Jesus was betrayed. The point is that along the way to crucifixion, there will be betrayal. There will be disappointment. There will be heartbreak. Stuff will happen, you know, along the way. But what will you do as it is done to you, except, and what you should be doing is accepting it as all part of the divine plan to get you to and through. Everything happens for a reason. Remember that there is a, your destiny is purpose driven. Well, if it's purpose driven, it is driven by God. Your destiny all along the way. Nothing is going to happen to you along the way that you are not already prepared for it to do it when it comes, because your destiny is purpose driven. Everything that you need in order to solve or dissolve or resolve anything that happens to you between that, going through that grave, transitioning from the old man to the new man, it's already set up. There's a divine setup, but it's got to happen. You got to go through it. The song says, Lord, what? Don't move my mountain, but give me the strength to go around it. Please don't move my stomach. Well, the book of James says, Count it all joy when stuff happens to you. Count it all joy. Why? Because you created it. Purpose-driven divine destiny. God don't bring that stuff into your life. You see, Socrates could have changed his mind at any time. Judas, there in the garden, said to the high priest, to the people in charge, look, we're going to be here for dinner in a couple of days. Now, Judas is one of his 12 disciples. Peter is there, loving more than anything and loving more than life itself. That's Peter, one of the 12. Now, here is Judas conspiring to the district attorney. I'm going to point him out to you. What's it worth to you? How about 30 pieces of silver? Okay. They gave him 30 pieces of silver. So that when they came, if he go over and kiss Jesus, then know that that's the one that they're looking for, want to arrest. And he did it. What is my point? Jesus knew Judas had to do that in order for him to get to the cross. And he said to Jesus, while he was talking to them, he says, there's one of you at the table here who dips into this cup is going to betray me. Go ahead and do what you got to do. That's the attitude that we have when we know we're driven by purpose. I told you what purpose is. And you're moving toward your divine destiny. If that's to be a musician, if that's to be a songstress, if that's to be an artist, a barber, a preacher, or whatever it is, that's your divine destiny in order to fulfill your purpose. Then what has happened is that I said, it's already set up, but it ain't always going to work out the way you want it. But whatever comes up, he doesn't let anything, allow anything to mess with you until you are prepared to deal with it and overcome it. Because your destiny is purpose-driven. And that means that once you execute that destiny, then you've kicked in the law of fate, which is the law of karma, which is the law of cause and effect, which means that you've got to be careful of all your thoughts because your present thoughts are predetermining your future that is affecting your destiny. You see, purpose-driven destiny. And so here's what my friend said to me. She says, it was $4,000. I haven't heard from him. He's avoiding all my calls. But what I am calling you for is this. See, her life is purpose-driven. 87 years old, doing all right. Still ministering and running a nonprofit program and whatever and whatever. And usually a joyful, happy person. But you see, she wants to stay on purpose, keep moving forward with divine destiny. But now she's under, as Jesus was and we were all under, something called the law of fate, the law of karma. Your present thoughts are determining your future. Her present thoughts was determining her future, and she didn't want to get into this law of karma where, you know, the negative thoughts are producing negative results in her life, and here, next thing you know, she's got this and this. She knows how that stuff works, so she wanted to shake it off. Shake it off. And when knowing that I know the person she's talking about, I said, well, then here's what I would do. I would accept the fact that you are calling for me to confirm with you is that you're not going to get it back from him. That don't mean you're not going to get it back. You're not going to get it back from him. And let it go, shake it off. She said, that's what I know. But that's what I need to hear. I know that already. And she said, and here's something else that I know, Amon. I didn't know that I had something hanging out there in my karma that I needed to finish and to balance. So what I'm calling you for is to help me accept this so that I can forget about him. I'm not thinking about him anymore. I have let that go. But hearing your voice, and knowing that you're in agreement with me, I can do it. You see, your present thoughts are affecting your future, you got to always go through life, let it fall away. It's falling away. Fall away. Fall away. Fall away. And until you let it fall away, fall away, fall away, you're in the tomb with grave clothes. Grave clothes. And the grave clothes are grief. Disappointment. Can't get over it. Abandonment. Can't get over it. Sexual abuse. Can't get over it. Omission. Commission. Unforgiveness. Sickness of this kind or that kind. What, you see, those are the grave clothes. And when you can take off those grave clothes and knowing that you, all the work that you've been doing in your studies, you have already built a new mental equivalent. And you're just in the Passover phase. And in order to pass over, you have to let go. That's all we're saying. And what I'm saying here today is my joy is in knowing that your being here represents that you have already done that. It is done unto you as you believe. Falling away, falling away, falling away has now become fallen away. Right? Fallen away. Fallen away. And so when you leave this place, today you are celebrating Easter Sunday. That's what Easter means to you now, is that I have put off the old man and put on the new man. And you walk out of here in a new consciousness with a new attitude, with a new faith, with a new aura. And then from then forth, it is done unto you as you believe. You're always walking into your good already realized, and you just walk through life saying, just being surprised. Just being surprised, just being surprised. Am I right? Thank you, Father, Mother, God. Amen. And so it is.
All right, are you ready? It's time to celebrate. We're going to manifest more in 2024. Yes, this is just.
This is just the beginning.
The year of refreshing.
The year of refreshing.
The plan now unfolds.
The plan now unfolds.
It's the time of your great blessing.
The time of your great blessing.
So expect nothing but victory.
That's the promise in all things.
To be exceedingly, abundantly, above what you ask or think. Sing it real good.
Expect the grace.
Put your hands together and say, expect the grace. Anybody over here expecting great things?
Expect the grace.
How about you? Are you ready to expect great things?
Great
blessing.
Say the blessing is on you.